We are fascinated with angels. Pastor Chris Gordon reminds us that the angels are equally fascinated with us as well, but for slightly different reasons.
They are sent to minister salvation to you who are inheriting, to be ministering spirits to you who are inheriting salvation. That's all they're doing. And the angels, if you were to have a talk with Gabriel today and say, hey, you know, this is pretty neat. You know, you're doing all these great things. Man, I don't understand why God doesn't take out the sword on you. I'm ready. I'm marveling at this, that this God of heaven and earth would come down through his son and love you and die for you. I don't get it. Why you would do that? That's the angels.
And this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're back in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 through 14. Once again, here's Pastor Chris in today's program.
When it says in verse 6 that he brought his firstborn into the world, the word that he chose there is not what we would think he would choose. He did not use cosmos. The word that he chose here means the inhabited world, the land. The context is really clear from this. He came to the cosmos first, our world first, and then he made atonement, and then he entered into the other world. And upon entering into the other world, can you imagine this scene, by the way? In the ascension, when he entered into the other world and took his seat, all the angels of heaven bowed down before his throne and worshiped him. Now, it was not to angels. I want you to look over at verse 5 of chapter 2 to make this point. Now, it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come of which we're speaking. See, it's the world to come he's talking about. He's not talking about this world. He's talking about the world to come. Jesus went ahead, John 14, to prepare a place for you. And he entered into the world to come. And when he sat down, the angels all bowed down and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." In verse 6, that's what he draws on. Let all the angels, let all God's angels worship him. You know where that's taken from? It's taken from Deuteronomy 32. Listen to that verse. Rejoice with him, O heavens. Bow down to him, all gods. For he avenges the blood of his children and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land. That's the land he's prepared for you, the land Abraham looked for. He's got it already ready for you. Do you know that? It's already waiting. It's already prepared. And he took his seat there. And it's not done till we're all there. The angels worship him. Now, why is that so important? Well, when every time an angel showed up on earth, what did people do? They fell down as dead and they worshiped them. This is captured in the book of Revelation. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." Worship God. Who's God? Hebrews is making it really clear. This is the greatest chapter to demonstrate the divinity of the Son of God, that he's true and eternal God. Everything's bowing to him, beloved. And when the angels spoke on earth, what happened? Oh, did the people listen? Oh, did the people listen? This shows the complete difference between how God spoke in the old covenant versus the new, by the way, which is one of the points of Hebrews. For he will later say, "For the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution." When angels spoke, judgments came. The law was mediated through who? Angels. Well, who's mediating in the new covenant? The very word of God. And here's the beauty of this. God is saying to you, I sent my closest family member to come down, save you, and come back up, who now speaks to you from heaven. My closest. It's intimate. This is special. This is powerful. It's beautiful, is what he's saying. And I think the whole point that he's making here is he's tying together the worship of Jesus with hearing him. Are we hearing him? Well, that's just not a little superfluous question. It's the reason Jesus, when he was on earth, was constantly testing people with this and calling, take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. Are we coming with the same awe and reverence that we would give if Gabriel was here tonight preaching? See, that's the point. Do you know who's speaking to you in the ministry of the gospel? The closest family member of God. His beloved, eternal, only begotten Son. That when you come and worship, think of this great truth, you are being joined by the angels in heaven who are constantly at this moment, because the Spirit bridges the gap, who are constantly bowing down and doing his will and praising him with sincerity of heart and worshiping him. I think this gets to my point now of why I pushed a little bit last week on how easily people are dropping out of church today. Why? I mean, did the hardship of COVID, and I'm not talking about the importance of being wise and being thoughtful in a pandemic. I'm talking about, is all it took was a little virus to drive so many out of the church permanently? That's what we're seeing. It's happening. Every church is describing it. Is that all it took? You see, I think the reason for this is because we've not communicated in the church what is actually happening when we come, that we are to come with holy reverence and awe because of who we are actually coming for. But we don't really believe that. I mean, the marvel of the book of Hebrews is really chapter 10, what I read to start this book. You get to come with boldness before who? The throne of grace of your King who's seated right now. He's not saying that's coming when you enter into glory. He's saying that's the benefit of worship right now. What a privilege, beloved. What's our attitude to the worship of God? It must make him sick when people are saying, I just want a better show. I want to feel better. I want this or I want that. Are you listening to the voice? The author moves to his enthronement to push this point. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, gird your sword on high, on your thigh. Think of the imagery of Revelation 19. He rides like a mighty warrior. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and your majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and righteousness. Meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, here it is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. You've loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, here's another proof of the divinity, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Who is this? It's Jesus. All these passages that are quoted here really come in the context of Jesus defending you from all enemies in this life, including death. Look at all the worries that we have today in America, the United States, and all the claims for justice, and all the claims for righteousness, and all the claims for truth. Look at the wickedness that fills this nation. This should be the most overwhelming truth. You belong to the one who's seated over everything. He came down and purchased you. It's all his. It's all his. He has been appointed heir of everything. And you can see now the pastoral implications of this book. What are you fearing? What are you fearing? Notice everyone right now is disgruntled over government. Everyone. Everyone. Did you see the line of truckers heading into Canada? Even Canada's up in arms. Nobody gets excitable in Canada. Who's your governor? Who's your king? Who's your leader? All governments rest on whose shoulders? You know, I love our Heidelberg. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made of nothing, made heaven and earth and all that's in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt. What's he going to do? He's going to provide for me with all things necessary for my soul and my body, he says. And further, that he will make whatever evil he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. He's able to do this. Why? Because he's Almighty God. That's who you're coming to. He set it up all over this world today. That's happening when the saints gather. That's who set this up. Again, I would have never set this up. You would have never, apart from the Lord, chosen me to do this. Trust me. And through this foolishness of preaching, he speaks to you. It's amazing. And all he does constantly in this is comfort you and give you words of encouragement and give you words of peace because he loves you. And he gives you love and gospel, good news and favor and reassurance. He's constantly doing this. You're so used to it, you take it for granted. And the general attitude of the people's apathy and drifting. Rather have a show. Give me the lights. Give me something to see. I think that's why the author's going after angels here. You know, people are so fascinated with angels. Do you know what they are, he says? Do you even know what angels are? Angels are winds and flames. What's that? They're just ministering spirits. That's all they are. They are sent from the throne of heaven to minister to you Jesus' love. That's all. They are sent, verse 13, the very end of this, 14, they are sent to minister salvation to you who are inheriting, to be ministering spirits to you who are inheriting salvation. That's all they're doing. And the angels, if you were to have a talk with Gabriel today and say, hey, you know, this is pretty neat. You know, you're doing all these great things. Man, I don't understand why God doesn't take out the sword on you. I'm ready. I'm marveling at this, that this God of heaven and earth would come down through his Son and love you and die for you. I don't get it why you would do that. That's the angels. Why he doesn't take you out? But instead, we were sent to minister his love to you. And that's all from him. A marvel. The Son of God died for you? You have some time today. Go to Ezekiel 1. It describes Jesus on his throne. And his fire, he's on fire in resplendent glory. And the angels are standing there and their wings are up. And their wings are covering their feet. And they formed a firewall around the throne so that the glory that is so consuming would not escape outside of those wings and incinerate everything else. And as soon as there's a mention of what to do, those angels turn and that throne moves. He's riding through the skies administering justice and truth, and they do exactly what he told them to do for you. It's overwhelming. Leads me to the final point. He is superior to the angels. Number one, because he's God's eternal Son, been declared throughout all the earth. Number two, because he's reigning over all. Number three, because he's unchanging. He goes right to Psalm 102. The psalm begins with one of the deepest laments in the Bible. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Don't hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and is withered. I forgot to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I'm like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I'm like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. All day my enemies taunt me, and those who deride me use my name for a curse, for I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. All we are experiencing in the world today is death and decay. Nothing certain in this life, except they say death and taxes, right? But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all your generations. You will arise, listen to this, and have pity on Zion. It's time to favor her. The appointed time has come. Hebrews grabs this. I know all the affliction, describing really Jesus. I know all the hardship. I know all the sorrow. I know all the death and sickness and pain and twistedness of evil. I'm coming. I'm going to roll all this up like a garment. I'm going to make this all brand new. The power of quoting this is to say the one on the throne, the solution in the psalm is this: but you, O Lord, are enthroned forever and ever. You never change. The time has come. They're at the end of Babylon. God's about ready to bring them back. And the point is to say that of all the sorrows and afflictions, God's going to bring reversal to all this. He will restore Zion in mercy. He's asking that God would make good here on the promise and renew everything and fix everything and bring us all back together again in worship with the angels around the throne in the other world. You will see again. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. The set time has come. Don't you want that set time to come now? Don't you feel like right now it's time? Fulfill your word. But the temptation, beloved, in all this weariness, is to lose heart. And in your losing of heart, and in all of your pains, and in all of your struggles, and the weariness of this all, you begin to look for some other answer. That's what Hebrews is going after. We've been oppressed. We've been afflicted. And the Bible says, yeah, you have no home here. You have no enduring city here. You can't run away from it to another part of the country and think you're getting away from anything. I've got another world for you. Invest there. It's time, says the Lord. I'll gather you again in mercy. And the psalmist, what he's celebrating here is because God is unchanging, his promise to help us. Psalm celebrates that he will hear the groans of prisoner to set those free who were doomed to die, and that's what the gospel's all about. We need release from sin and sorrow. And Jesus, when he came, says, that's why I arrived, to set people free. God promises you help. So in all this distress, what is he saying to you? Everything's under his feet, beloved, verse 13. He's the one that does not change. His throne is forever and ever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's going to be a big theme in Hebrews. He's Lord over all. He will fulfill his word. All the rebellion and evil's coming to an end. Why are you discouraged? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, Psalm 42. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He came down here. He forgave your sins. He's reigning over all. He's promised you help. He cares for you. He rules you with great wisdom and skill. He watches over you. He's got a glorious future planned for you. All your enemies, including the great one of death, he has put under his feet. So what's the question he's leading to? Are you listening? Are you hearing? Does your life demonstrate that you believe when you come up here, you're listening to the voice of Jesus? Hey, guess what? Jesus is speaking tonight at 5. Or does every other voice captivate us? Does our approach to worship demonstrate you're listening to him? Or really, are you more fascinated with anything and everything else? He's your Lord. He loves you. He cares for you. He's a God who will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the essence and promise of the covenant of grace. Do you hear him? In all the voices of this world today, the Father says to you, this is my beloved Son. He's installed. I've declared him. Listen to him. Listen to him.
Easy to visualize angels. They become somewhat tangible for us. Whole lot easier to deal with than faith at times, right? If we're honest with ourselves. But the writer of Hebrews here is encouraging us to get past all that and listen to Jesus. Rely once again on our sure faith and hope in Christ. And you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment to close out our time together today with a word of prayer. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word, and thank you for being so faithful. We confess, O Lord, why the problem of the church is emptying out today, because we just don't have this confidence. And we need to repent of it. And therefore, we must give the most earnest attention to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Endure us by your grace. Give us perseverance through the word. And let us hear the powerful voice of the Son of God, who lives and reigns forever and ever, who does not change, and who is seated over all. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
And amen. Well, tomorrow, we turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the danger of drifting away from Jesus. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.